based on a true scary, contains adult themes, language, and all-around scary shit. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Based on a True Scary. We're back.
Man, you are hungover.
That
was the least Trisha intro I have ever heard. You want to try one more time?
No. I can't even feel feelings. Guys, I apologize at the beginning. This one's going to be fun.
I didn't mean to call you out, but I absolutely did.
I mean, it was going to come out either way, so I think that that's fair. Well, no, I'm going to do my best here, and it's because we have a great guest here today.
I wouldn't use the word great.
A good friend of yours.
I know. This is the first episode where I think
not a friend of yours.
This is the first episode I'll probably be made fun of the most.
Yeah, that's exciting. Sure. Well, I'm going to introduce him real quick. So our guest today is a camera operator in the film industry. Welcome, Colin. A friend of mine as well.
Hi, guys.
Are you scared?
Not yet.
Wise.
You should be.
Well, you know what's not scary is
the possession.
The fucking movie that we're going to talk about today, which was
Where
the
we
possession.
Find out what's in the box.
Oh, God. We're already starting with the what's in the box.
I mean, we have to. I mean, it's either it's what's in the box or I was getting strong Gollum Lord of the Ring vibes. Right? I was feeling a lot of my precious.
There was a lot of scary whispering. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so hungover. Let me, real quick, I'm just going to go through the details and then we can get into our thoughts.
I keep doing that. Why am I saying sorry?
How dare you? Yeah, don't apologize. My therapist tells me that a lot. Stop apologizing.
It's the Midwest.
So, not to be confused with Possession, which is an actually good movie. Wait, have you guys seen
the
Sam Neill? That's a really good movie.
We can talk about
that. Sam Neill.
Yeah. It's a really cool
sneaky,
80s
British sneaky
horror movie.
Big horror movie guy, apparently, because he did Event Horizon too.
Oh yeah, and a lot of John Carpenter stuff.
Fucking incredible movie.
I do love Event Horizon. Should we just not talk about The Possession and talk about Event Horizon?
Just
we can see where it leads us.
Scrap all notes. No, so we unfortunately do have to talk about The Possession from 2012. It was written by Juliet Snowden and Stiles White. They actually wrote the Ouija franchise. Did you guys see any of those Ouija movies? Because I thought
the second one
was actually kind of good.
I do have a funny story about that, but we can move on.
Yeah, those were big for a while, weren't they?
They were pretty box office-y big. I thought that the origin one, the second one, was pretty decent, but that was not this film. This movie was directed by Bornedal, Danish. Sorry if I didn't pronounce that right. He hasn't really done that much. It was produced by Sam Raimi, though, so you've got that little bit of horror credit in there. Sam, what were you thinking?
It's Blumhouse, yeah.
Was it Blumhouse? Is it Blumhouse?
No, sorry, not it's Sam's company.
This feels too early for Blumhouse.
Yeah, I don't think.
Ghost House, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, it was Ghost House. You're right. Oh, I did. Sure. Okay. Oh, Sam. Budget for this was $14 million. It actually grossed $89.2 million at the box office.
That's pretty damn
good.
That's
international, but that is pretty damn good.
Yeah, if you're bringing in, six times your budget, you're not doing bad for...
No. I mean, just in general.
By any measure.
Like $14 million for that movie, like watching it, it was pretty actually good if you look at that.
Yeah, they would make that movie for $2 million now and it would look terrible.
Yeah.
Speaking of Danish... The guy who shot it is the guy who did Shape of Water and the last two John Wick movies.
Really?
So he's a really good DP. So a mark of a good horror movie for me is always, does it look good and does it have good actors in it? And this one looks good.
Yeah.
And I like Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think this movie is unwatchable without Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Kira Sedgwick.
It's arguably unwatchable with them. And
the little girl was not bad.
Oh,
either.
I actually thought the little
but
girl.
All
was
the
little
girl, she was good.
All the local Vancouver actors not doing so good.
Ooh, yeah, that was rough.
Yeah.
Well, Rotten Tomatoes agrees. Critic 39%, audience 48%, Metacritic at 45%. So pretty solid there. It's also was rated PG-13, which shows.
That's
always a
that
bummer.
Makes a lot of sense,
not a lot of gore. An hour and 31-minute runtime, thank goodness. Movie should not be longer than that, in my opinion. And then truth claim for this one, they leaned in hard. So
yeah, right away.
Posters, trailer, marketing, all claim it's based on a true story. The director also talked about it a lot in the press tours, how this is based on a true story. So real quick synopsis, for those of you who didn't watch the movie, which probably good on you. So the movie's about it. Basically, a young girl named Emily buys a creepy box at a yard sale. She opens it up. She gets possessed by a demon that was trapped in the box. What's in the box? It starts feeding on her.
That was the
dad
joke.
Finds out. Would you say that's solid? Yeah.
So that was the joke.
That was the joke. Yeah. Dad figures it out and then hires Modest Yahoo.
Yeah.
As a rabbi to perform an exorcism on her.
You can tell it's 2012 because Modest Yahoo was pretty. He was still pretty popular in 2012, yeah. I think, and they were like, "Ooh, we've got a cool Orthodox Jew in here from New York."
Yeah, and then when they show him, you know, immediately introduction. Yeah, to the character, he's got headphones like singing in. Modest Yahoo.
That was probably like a big catch for them. They're just like, "Dude, we got Modest Yahoo!" Like, holy crap!
I remember when this movie came out.
Was that actually Modest Yahoo?
That was Modest Yahoo.
Oh, I had no idea.
Oh yeah,
it was.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah. I liked that guy.
Yeah, he was. He's surprisingly good.
Yeah, no, but he's not in the public eyes much anymore. No.
Terrible actor.
Well, yeah, he tried.
Yeah.
He tried. The little girl ran circles around him.
I think he did. I mean, he fell dead in the middle of the acting talent in that movie. Because
who was the worst? In the older
sister? No, there were just some of those locals. Some of the local Vancouver actors. The new husband was not good.
Oh, well, I want to talk about that, but let's we'll get back.
And I don't want to flame child actors because they don't. But the other daughter was not so great either. No.
I mean, all she had to do was do TikTok dances before TikTok. Oh, how was she a TikTok teen?
That was so weird.
In 2000.
It was like, wasn't even like a song that like was like you should be dancing to.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
That's it for details. We can. It's open form, baby. What are your thoughts on this?
Can we talk about Jeffrey Dean Morgan? His name was Clyde.
Like, so, what was wrong with that name?
I mean, have you ever met a Clyde?
No, maybe that's my problem.
Have you ever met a Clyde?
I can think of one off the top of my head.
Wait. Are you anti-Clyde? What's going on here?
I don't like the name. I don't like the name.
Really?
Yeah.
And it was one of the drill instructors in Marine Corps boot camp. His name was Clyde. And he was a 6'4" man from Louisiana. And he was scary as hell.
All right. Well,
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is kind of big. Is this a big man name?
I don't know.
I think more important than his name.
It's a country boy name.
A country boy name.
Yeah. For sure.
It's a hay bale throwing name.
Where did they live? So we know somewhere outside of New York.
Yeah, I had no idea where. I immediately knew it was shot in Vancouver just by looking at it.
Oh, that's so
funny. Just by looking at it. It's like, it looks like America, but it's clearly not America. So it's obviously Vancouver.
Those scenes in quote unquote Brooklyn were not. I do not think that was actually Brooklyn. I used to live right by.
No. They sent one team out to do some helicopter shots of the Brooklyn Bridge. And then after that, it was,
some
back alley in Vancouver somewhere.
Yeah, all I've got is that, you know, Dybbuk boxes don't seem great. Jake, are you alive?
I don't get it. What did you just say?
I just said Dybbuk boxes seem like they're not great.
Oh, yes.
Those are my overall thoughts on the movie.
Sorry, I was reading my notes, trying to figure out where we were. I don't know why I'm telling you this.
I have some notes on the fact that Jeffrey Dean Morgan wore a lot of cool beanies.
Oh yeah,
he seemed like he was definitely.
He's a beanie guy.
He seemed like one of my thoughts was he was doing his own wardrobe. He's like, this is what I would wear in the real world.
Yeah, because he was probably like,
hoodie, unzipped hoodie, cool biker jacket cool over it.
Was that
beanie? Yeah.
Was that was this before Walking Dead for him, or was this during?
This during.
This was,
yeah, this must so have been during.
Really?
Yeah.
He was a catch. For sure. So he probably walked on and was like,
Walking Dead was 2007 maybe first season?
2008? Yeah, but when Negan came on, I don't know. Yeah.
Because he comes on later.
No, I think he's on there by 2012. I'm almost sure of it, but I could be wrong.
Tell us if we're wrong, listeners. Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't watch that far into the show, to be perfectly honest.
I thought he was fine. I thought the only times when it wasn't working very well for him was when they have to, it happens in every movie where you got to react to a thing that's going to be CGI later on.
Right,
and you're just reacting. No, anything. I mean, when they open the door and there's all the bugs in there and
did
stuff.
Like
it's just so clear that there's nothing in that room.
Right,
you can tell both of the actors are having a hard time reacting to absolutely nothing. That's always tough. That's why practical horror movies always come out better.
We are big practical horror stands here at Based on a True Scary. The CGI in this movie was absolutely terrible.
Yeah. So they have the setup. We get that, blah, blah, blah. There's a weird relationship. The mom has a new husband that is a terrible actor.
They're divorced, and her husband's her new boyfriend is a terrible actor.
Right,
He's a dentist, and the Jeffrey Dean Morgan's like, stay away from my kids' teeth.
So, I never really got that one. But
yeah,
I mean, yeah.
Seemed unnecessary.
Oh, because, yeah, because he put braces on her.
She had a retainer or something.
Yeah. So, okay, but this is what, like, when she starts being possessed, the little girl, like, she starts acting out, right? Like, she stabs.
She's a little despondent. She's a little angry. She stabs him in the hand with a fucking fork.
Stabs him in the hand, right? She beats a kid up at school, right?
Yeah.
And then there's that scene where she's, like, getting ghost slapped. And, like, the whole world doesn't believe him. The whole world's like, she's faking it. I didn't slap her. It's like, no, you did. Let's call the cops. Like, she stabbed me in the fucking hand.
The excuse is just, you know, divorce is hard on a child.
I know.
Which is, like, a little bit.
It's hard to start with a stab in the hand. You don't have a lot of places to go after that.
There was no escalation to that.
That should be step four.
Yeah.
Not step one.
That was like pre-moth.
Yeah.
It was hand, and then it was the fight at school.
Because beating up a kid at school is a much less severe thing to do than stabbing somebody in the hand with a fork. That could require some serious surgery.
Also, he didn't even go to that. I mean, yeah, you could truly fuck up someone's hand that way. Yeah. He seemed just fine with
it. Yeah, he kind of had a little hand. I think he had a little hand wrap on, like, in a couple scenes. But
little boo-boo. Little band-aid.
A big band-aid.
The beginning... The scene with the intro scene where we're introduced to the Dybbuk box stuff. Yeah, all the Bell's palsy stuff was kind of cool.
I didn't roll with it, so I get to say
that. Did you learn a new word for this, for this podcast?
The research that Jake did.
No.
I did actually, some research that I did, I looked up what they were whispering, because, you know, there was a creepy whispering that was in Polish, and the saying was, I will eat your heart. So I think Armie Hammer would be... a fan of the film. Da-da-da-da. Can we add a...
Wow, I was waiting for long. It was 11 minutes in until Trisha brought Armie Hammer.
Timely 6 months late reference to Armie Hammer.
Well, Armie Hammer's always relevant in my
mind. Trust me, when we go out to dinner later, she's going to bring him up again. It's going to happen.
Look, he's handsome and problematic, but...
Oh, wait.
He likes to eat hearts. It's fine.
Wait, the thing that really killed me with this movie was when he, like, when Jeffrey Dean Morgan, like, comes back and... She's like, I keep getting emails to my computer.
So I'm printing them out.
You better do something about it. It's like, what? Like, what world are we living in that you don't know how to, like, delete, like...
Or forward them. She printed them out. It's 2012.
But then he went on the computer and was looking at it. He deleted his email off of her computer. Like... I don't think they knew how email worked in this world. It's Canada.
That sounds like something they would try to pull on the audience in like 1998.
Yes.
Where no one really knows how this piece of technology works. But by 2012, everybody knows how Gmail works.
Yeah.
And you're not
you just take it out. You take his Gmail off your computer.
Yeah, you're not going to fool the audience
But the fact that like all of a sudden he's like, the trash bin shows up and he empties trash. He's like, my email's gone. It's like, no, that's not how that works. Like, you can't just... I don't know. Sorry. That one really got me, as you can tell.
I just have to say that Jake's holding a microphone for this episode because we kind of messed up our setup, and you look so ridiculous.
Well, I mean, the microphone doesn't help, too.
There's tape on it. We need more ad revenue.
Yeah.
Oh, what else? Oh, this is just an overall question for you guys. I know none of us here have children. Would you let your young daughter buy a creepy engraved gigantic wooden box from a yard sale?
I mean, I guess it's how weird my daughter is. Like, if she's like, if I'm like, dude, that's totally like, that's her thing,
I would just be like, why the box? Like, what is she just, why?
A question. Are they Jewish, the family?
Great question.
I don't think so.
Totally unclear.
I don't think so.
The scene where he goes and meets all the rabbis, he definitely looked at the yarmulke like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Or like non-practicing or something like that. I don't know. I thought, it's going to have something to do with them being Jewish, but it didn't appear that they were.
It seemed totally rich. They wanted to, it was like a marketing ploy. Like, this is a Jewish exorcism movie.
That's why I'm excited about the truth factor. Because like, I'm like interested to see, you know.
I know something you don't know.
Yeah. I do.
Is that why I like this podcast?
I do like a weird religious thing.
Oh.
I love weird religious. Like, I remember thinking Exorcism of Emily Rose was very good and very creepy.
It was.
I mean,
because of the, I mean, there's always a religious factor in these things, but like, I love some deep buried in the scripture demon thing. That's always good.
Well, that's the weird thing about this one is like, one of the reasons I like kind of didn't really get into it is like, I was, you know, I was raised Catholic. So all those other ones were like so easy for me to like attach and be like, oh yeah, I remember that story or blah, blah, blah. And so I'm just like, yeah, I don't, it's just, I mean, they don't even weigh heavy on it. It's not even until the end of the movie where all of a sudden they go, he meets the rabbi.
It's true. It's, yeah. That's not really discussed until the, you know, the classic dig
information. Was like, I'm a badass. I can't leave people alone. Those rabbis are bad people.
I did. Man, I loved the crew of rabbis. They seemed like a fun hang. Yeah.
In the Game of Thrones room that they were in.
Yes. Yeah.
That was very much like a room that you would find Cersei in season four of Game of Thrones.
There was some ornate shit happening in that room. No, it was beautiful.
But again, it was a good looking movie. That's I think that's a good mark of a, for a horror movie, it needs to have a couple good actors in it, and it's got to look good for me.
I guess I didn't, like, nothing stood out to me for it, like, look-wise. Like, I guess,
yeah,
I guess
it, well, good. It shouldn't. It's not tragically bad-looking, like a lot of horror movies are.
Let me just tell a side story, and we can cut this out if we want to. But
oh, boy, mark the timestamp.
But, so, and Colin, you hate this, too, but my friend produced a rip-off. It was called the Ouija Exorcism. Oh, Slatty listens to this. Sorry, Slatty.
Does he? Oh, hi, Slatty.
So he had this. I watched it. I downloaded it. I actually got it on Redbox and watched it. And there's a scene where they go from outside talking and they hop in the car. And, you know, you'd think they'd just throw the camera in the back and just, you know, it's a low budget movie and just get like back of the heads of them talking to each other. No, GoPros.
Oh, boy.
GoPros. And I'm pretty sure, and Slatty, you can call me up and yell at me later, but I don't think they wide-angled it either.
Yeah. That's another bad horror movie trope is, like, some weird camera trick.
Oh, this
they're always doing some gimmick. There's always, like, a lot of security cameras, or it's the camera on the computer, or...
This wasn't a gimmick trick.
It's a phone camera or something. They're always trying some... tricky thing.
No, I think they're like, we want to get them in the front. GoPros will work compared to our Red. And yeah, so anyways, I have to delete this. Side is gonna
be I'm just hungover. That's why I look the way that I look. It's great.
That's why you are the way that you are.
Yes, the movie looked, I didn't notice anything particular about like the look that felt
one,
really cool to
that
me.
That one moth scene, I know it was all VFX.
But
you can't
blame the VFX on the cinematographer.
That's fair.
Unfortunately, but or rather, unfortunately, the cinematographer can't help the VFX is what I should have said.
Right.
But, it was a solidly shot movie. Like, it looked like a movie. Some horror movies look terrible. And I know that that's part of the gimmick. Like, some people really love that kind of super low budget horror
movie.
Right.
Well, and then the found footage thing also allows for that. But
this is a ASC, you know, this is an award winning cinematographer who shot this. And it's a solid looking movie. And all my favorite horror movies, The Ring and Sinister, and they're all shot really well by good DPs too. Right. And I think that really helps sell the movie.
Yeah.
Here's the real question.
Uh-oh.
Do you think it's a sign of bad writing when the daughter constantly calls her dad daddy? Did you call your dad daddy?
No.
Sorry, Colin.
Can't ask me that one.
Are we making Colin uncomfortable?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a little strange. I also don't know how old she was supposed to be. She was pretty young.
Yeah, she's young.
It's fine. It does make me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was thinking 12 and the other daughter was 14 or something.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that's what it felt like to me. Yeah.
Between the ages like 4 and 15, I have no idea how old a kid is.
What the fuck?
They're all
that
just,
can't be true.
There's roughly child
age. A freshman in high school versus someone who can barely speak.
Get him out of restaurants is what
the
I'm
thing
saying.
Is, I think she's serious.
So matronly. I will say the scene... I thought the scene where she looked into her mouth and saw the fingers was cool.
That was really cool.
That was a cool gimmick. And the MRI scene was really cool.
No,
not to jump around.
That was fucking stupid.
I thought it was really spooky.
The ghost inside the MRI machine.
He had his like hands on her heart.
Dumb. That was Colin. Colin.
Look, I have a lot of.
I mean,
you know,
conceptually, it's dumb.
No, but it was cool.
No,
I thought. Well, I thought it was the. You can tell that scene was, anyone who's ever had an MRI, knows that an MRI machine sounds very creepy. Yeah. So someone was like, ooh, let's shoehorn an MRI machine into this movie because no one's done it before. Because we all know how creepy MRI machines sound.
It's true.
So they just, you know, backdoored the MRI into this movie so they could have the woof, 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 woof.
Also, Jake, as a hypochondriac who goes to the hospital often thinking that I'm having a heart attack,
it's usually,
having creepy medical results is spooky. I thought that would, oh my goodness, that would be
it
very
was
spooky.
So, I'm ready to leave. I'm so upset right now. This is ridiculous. That was dumb. That was so stupid.
Wow.
Also, I do like what you were saying about that, like, shoehorn an MRI scene in it, because also the whole morgue scene, like where they do all the
The exorcism? Like down in the PT room in the hospital?
Like, they tried
was that the only reason why he was a basketball coach? So he was like, I know of a physical therapy room in the bottom of
is
the hospital.
Is that what it's supposed to be? I thought it was like, because I thought it was supposed to be like I felt like it was like all dead bodies.
No, it was a PT room. That's why there was like a pool. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go fuck
it's
myself.
The only reason. Whatever. Get out, Jake.
Colin,
do you
want to
co-host a podcast?
I'm available. Let's talk to my agent. Let's
see. Okay, cool.
I've talked to your agent. Okay. Not worth it. He's too expensive. Trust me.
God damn it. This is what I get for free, folks. I get Jake. Just kidding. You're very good at your job. Oh, I did like how the little girl was, you know, she was like a little emo, a little spooky gal. She loved that there was human teeth and hair in there. That was weird, but... she loved the box. She loved her box.
Okay, let's talk about her makeup scenes, though. Like, they did not do a good job. Like, all of a sudden,
she had like black eye makeup on.
Yeah. A pale face, but the rest of her body was like normal.
Yeah. She was just in like a goth t-shirt. Yeah. I was like, she looks great.
I thought that she did when in the scenes where she was supposed to be, you know, being possessed and looking creepy and stuff, she did a great job on her own. I thought the makeup and the that was kind of almost ruining it.
Yes.
Because she was doing a really good job. She could do some creepy stuff with her face and her eyes. And she was clearly...
she screamed at her dad.
And she was... she was clearly... she was definitely like, you know, crying on cue and stuff like that. She was doing a very good job, I thought.
And she had those big, creepy eyes. No, she did a great job. Yeah. I was impressed. Kid actors, it's tough, but...
yeah, they go one way or the other. They're either incredible or absolutely unworkable.
Which, I agree. No, she was good. I liked her. She was my one comment there. And I was like, she's pretty good. Pretty good. Good job.
And hated the MRI scene.
Fucking MRI scene.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. There's a little ghost popping up through it. Like, what? That's not how possession works. Okay.
This is how the Dybbuk works. This is the first time we've done a Jewish exorcism movie, Jake. We're learning about Dybbuks.
Learned about
it. It was educational. Wow.
Sorry.
And I'm too hungover to fight back, so that's what's unfortunate.
I just looked at Colin for a little, just like he's like he laughed. I was like, yes.
It was a reluctant laugh.
You have one fan. I'm sorry, that was.
And he's here tonight.
I also didn't hate the little creepy when the Dybbuk came out of Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
That was cool.
Gave me kind of like baby Voldemort vibes when, you know, if you guys watch Harry Potter, that was a creepy demon. I enjoyed that. Cause I think, you know what? I think it was practical.
Yeah. That looked like it was someone in some sort of costume with maybe a little bit of CGI on top later on, but there was definitely a human being behind that.
Which was cool.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah.
Practical effects. We enjoy you. Yes. Thank you for being you.
And then what happens after everything's fine?
Oh, well, that's the ending was kind of funny. Yeah. So they do the exorcism, right? Get the demon. Well, the demon, of course, goes into the dad because there's always got to be that little tricky trick.
Yeah.
And then they're fine. You know, like, obviously it's kind of it's the weird thing where it's like, is the lesson of this film to not open Dybbuk boxes or is it to open them because it'll fix your marriage and bring your family back together? Because Kira Sedgwick's all horny for him after the
exorcism. That boyfriend lost all his teeth and then he just left.
Yeah, he's gone.
And we never heard from him again. And she's not even concerned where he is. Also, he lost all his teeth. Like,
that was kind of cool.
It was really cool. Do you think he actually lost his teeth or was like a
like a hallucination? Yeah. No, because that Dybbuk box killed the teacher, so I think it was doing some damage.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I think he lost all his teeth.
Damn.
I'd get the hell out of there, too. It's weird,
not worth it.
Despondent child, and then your teeth fall out, it's time to go. I've had some bad exes, but that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But no, then the twist at the end, we have Modest Yahoo who's driving and he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to take this box to my father or grandfather who will know what to do with it. And then he gets hit by a semi. I assume he dies. And
oh
then...
yeah, the engine was outside of the car. That motherfucker's dead for sure.
Dad,
yeah,
Modest Yahoo. And then so the box gets thrown from the car and then you hear the whispering.
And of course it's in perfect condition.
Yeah, of course.
Spooky after boxes this. Can't get damaged.
Also, you Jumanji that, okay? You wrap some chains around it and you fucking dump it in a river or a lake. Like, what are you doing?
Jumanji's a good movie.
This is a good movie, yeah. They always find it, though.
You know? I mean, they're always going to find it. Yeah. Well, there was no The Possession, too.
With magnet fishing now, you know? Just that was a magnet fishing joke, guys.
I don't even know what magnet fishing is.
You just take a really big magnet and you throw it into lakes and you pull stuff out. You guys don't have that on your TikTok?
That sounds like something.
It's a big,
that sounds like something someone from the Great Lakes region of America
they
would
always
do.
Find guns. It's always a gun.
Oh, of course it is.
It's always
it's
a gun.
It's always a gun.
Fantastic.
A gun and a watch.
Yeah. And an old bike.
That's true. Oh, I'm just looking through my notes here to find anything interesting. The scene where she scares the shit out of her mom, where she's like on the ground on her hands and knees eating the raw meat and like throwing glass everywhere. That was good.
Yeah.
That's all I've got.
Like,
that
you think
kind
at
of
that point,
tension.
You think at that point she was like, maybe he wasn't lying. Maybe he didn't hit her.
Yeah.
Like.
Maybe.
Yeah. I wish there was more of that. I thought there was. There were some good moments in there, but I think what they were trying to do, they were trying to be too much like The Ring, which was more, it was all about the research and the tension in between the scenes where stuff goes wrong. But The Ring is just an absolutely brilliant movie, and they kind of didn't have any substance in between the scenes where stuff went wrong.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of boring waiting for stuff to happen.
Right.
But I wish there would have been just more of scenes like that, more creepy stuff like that.
Colin, overall, wasn't very scary.
You know what The Ring didn't have?
What?
An MRI scene.
Yeah, it would have been scarier.
You're probably right. If she came out of the MRI like screams.
Yeah.
I will say, I do like a good daytime horror movie.
Yeah.
That is a good, that's a good hallmark. Because
that's
when it's
fair.
Night, you just know that if bad stuff happens at night in a horror movie, you know that people are safe during the day. And that when it gets dark out, now bad stuff's going to happen. But if you have a daytime horror movie, bad stuff can happen anytime, which is good. I like that.
I
love a good daytime horror movie.
I love how nice you're being to the film, Colin.
I'm saying I like aspects of it. I'm not saying it was executed well. I'm saying there are things about this movie I appreciate that were good choices, like the cinematography and the setting and the time of
what
day they were doing
about
stuff.
The MRI scene?
I think that's your hill to die on, man. I'm not going to help you.
So does that mean he's on my side?
I don't know what side he's on.
I'm neutral.
It was unique. I've never seen anything like that in a horror movie before.
Okay. Anyways,
fine.
Moving on.
You know, look, we wish that movies like The Ring and other good horror movies were based on a true story.
Seriously.
But you know what? It's
we're reaching it.
I've been trying to get you guys to. I've been trying to get you guys to justify doing Sinister forever.
We tried. You know? I told her that and she tried.
Yeah. I try. Yeah. There's not. Yeah. I mean, look, we can do some stretches, but
that
was gymnastics.
For Scream,
we stretched for Scream. We did do The Exorcism of Emily Rose, though, not to plug a previous episode. That's actually that was a really interesting one to research.
I already forgot.
God, Jake.
Colin gets it.
Yeah.
Colin gets
it. I get that you forget things that are important constantly. That's what I get.
Listeners, help me. Please send help. I'm not okay. I don't know. Should we?
Let's move on.
Let's move on. So now it's time to pit friend against friend for the fact-checking section.
We really need like some like beat music. Like,
look, you're responsible for editing this podcast.
Okay.
This is all on you.
Whoa. I was not ready for that.
Should we add some sound effects?
It's a little too inside baseball, guys.
Yeah.
We don't want to know who does what around here.
We don't want to know how the sausage is made. I mean, I think everybody's pretty clear at this point. No, so we're going to do, Colin, we're going to ask a series of questions. I think our listeners probably know at this point how this goes, but I'm going to bring up some things about the movie and see if you think that they happened in real life or not. Should we get started? Are you guys ready?
Yeah. You need a pee break?
Do we need to take a potty break? How's everybody feeling?
This is like
feeling?
The first time ever. I'm
oh my
fine.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your job's going to be easy.
Just do it.
No editing. Okay, so I'm going to kind of just start a little broad here, and then we'll go from there. So first question, gentlemen, in the movie, obviously, Emily buys a haunted Dybbuk box at a garage sale. Do you think that in real life, somebody bought a supposedly haunted Dybbuk box at a garage sale?
You can go first.
I think we need to preface this by these are real things.
Theoretically.
Okay.
According to sources.
Okay.
I'm going to say no.
You say no?
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to go opposite and say, yeah, I mean, that seems like a plausible thing. That's not outside the realm of possibility.
I will say it is always wise to go the opposite of what Jake says, because it is, in fact, true.
Okay.
So in 2003, a writer and furniture refinisher, say that 10 times fast, named Kevin Manis purchased a wine cabinet from a yard sale of a local attorney in Portland, Oregon. So not in New York. It was in Oregon. Why do movies do this?
It's my biggest pet peeve.
It's fine.
Like, just set it in Oregon. Like,
you know,
cares?
They got it, whatever. So
this was a non-denominational wine cabinet.
Well, I will get there. So he claims that the woman having the garage sale said that it had origins that traced back to 1983 and that it was said to have ties to the Holocaust. So the box was brought.
His origins traced back to 1983?
1893?
1938.
1938.
Yeah,
but did I say something wrong?
You said 1983, yeah.
I'm going to have a sip of wine.
You are hungover. Oh,
can I not read?
Because I literally, all I thought was like, it's not that old.
Yeah.
1938. So the box was brought to the United States by her Jewish grandmother after World War II, and that her grandmother had recently died at the age of 103. So very good. That's there. Hard. And they were selling off her belongings at the yard sale. She said that her grandmother always kept the box in her sewing room where it could be out of reach because she insisted that the box could never, ever be opened.
And was throw it in a lake.
No shit. So her grandmother, okay, no, I already said this. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so hungover. So the woman called it a Dybbuk box. She said that her grandmother called it a Dybbuk box, but the woman didn't know what that meant. And Kevin Manis was intrigued by the history, and he thought that he could refurbish the piece and it would make a good gift for his mom. So he decides to buy it and refurbish it. And we will continue on from there. So it's technically true from a garage sale.
Cool.
Cool. All right. Yeah. All right. Question two. So in the movie, Emily opens it up. She finds human hair, human teeth, some little trinkets in there. Do you think that in real life, the box was opened and there were human teeth and human hair in the box? What's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
I'm gonna go ahead and say yes. That's true.
Okay.
I don't know if I believe that those exact items were in there, but it's certainly plausible that there's some interesting little personal belongings inside of something like that. Maybe a woman born in the 1800s thought would be, would help cleanse something.
So yeah.
cleanse some bad juju.
Yes or no answer.
Yes, I do.
Jake's back.
I am agreeing with Jake here.
So it's Colin's pretty right. So it's mostly true. Kevin obviously did not honor the grandmother's wishes by not opening the box. He opened it. And inside, he claims that he found two locks of human hair, one blonde and one brunette, so not from the same person, one small granite slab, a dried rosebud, a wine goblet, two wheat pennies, which I believe is just an old penny, and a candlestick. So no teeth, but there were locks of human hair.
That actually just remind me of the scene where the girl cuts her hair to put in it.
Yeah, because
it was like way too much hair.
It was way too much hair.
She really stuffed it in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that is fair.
Like on her way of like angrily cutting her hair, then shaving her head, like fucking name from Empire Records.
Oh yeah. Robin Tully, is that actress?
Tooney.
Robin Tully. God, I love Empire Records.
Nice pull, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks. Deep cut. All right. Question three. Are you gentlemen ready? Colin's winning.
Yeah.
In the film, the first kind of weird sign of possession we get is this moth infestation in the house. Do you guys think that in real life, this box conjured up a moth infestation?
Oh, man. That's a tough one.
Yeah, because an old creepy cabinet could have some eggs and stuff in there from insects.
Exactly.
It was all plausible at first,
you
know?
I'm
going to say no.
I'm gonna say yes, just because I think, like, why would they include that in? Like, maybe not this moth infestation, but like moths in general.
So Colin's right.
Fuck me. Jesus.
It is false. Nothing about moths or really bugs of any kind. However, Manus did claim that strange things started happening once the box was in his possession.
I got to stop and say this. Like I was saying earlier, some of the weakest scenes in the movie were the ones where they were having to react to things that weren't there.
It was bad.
Why would you include some, like, I was thinking that the bugs were some sort of, you know, like a biblical plague type thing. Like it's something in scripture that, if you invoke the wrath of this demon, he'll send plagues of some sort of insects. Why include that stuff if it doesn't have to be there? Because it didn't look good at all.
I mean, great question.
It didn't make the movie better.
Unclear of if it's anything to do with, like, Dybbuk's. I didn't dive super into the Dybbuk lore, but yeah, I agree. So in real life here, I'll kind of read. Manus says, okay, some shit did go down. So he brought the box to his workshop and put it in the basement because he was going to refurbish it, obviously. Later that day, an employee called him in hysterics saying that somebody had broken into the basement of the shop. She could hear breaking glass and what sounded like a man screaming. Coming from down in the basement. So he calls the police and he heads over. They find nobody in the basement, no signs of breaking and entering, but all the light bulbs down in the basement were broken. It reeked of cat urine, and he swears that they've never had cats down there. They didn't own any cats. And that 10 4-foot fluorescent tubes were lying shattered on the floor.
That's a little creepy.
That's a little creepy.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Arguably creepier than moths, too. Yeah. Like,
well, yeah.
I know.
You could have so much fun with that scene right there.
Just some, like,
yeah, it's a lot easier. That's a lot easier to do, and it's more plausible and weird.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. Should we make The Possession too?
We should. Yes.
I'm gonna tap out on that one.
Wow.
Oh, nope. That's part of contract, and you jumped on this. You
gotta Did you not read the fine print?
Yeah.
the verbal contract I signed when drunk last week.
Yeah.
Great.
Perfect. This is how we rope people in. Okay, next question. Jake's losing.
Yeah.
Love to see it.
Okay,
so,
relax.
All right. In the movie, Emily's teacher is murdered. She has the box in her possession, and she just honestly kind of interacts with it, and it kills her by throwing her out the window. Do you think that this Dybbuk box ended up killing someone in real life when they were, it was in their possession?
No. I mean, did someone die? Well,
yeah. Could someone have died while the thing was nearby? Some weird accident.
I'm not trying to trick anyone here.
You absolutely are. Look at your face. You know what you're doing.
The wine's kicking in. I'm feeling better.
Yeah, she looks a lot more awake now.
She's pulling hijinks. I'm pulling hijinks.
I'm gonna say no.
Okay.
I'm gonna say yes. I bet someone had a horrible accident while it was around, and that's what.
So it is actually false.
Okay.
Give this one to Jake.
In your face.
Wow.
Okay. We've got a real hockey team win-loss record going on right now. We're 2-1-1.
Are you guys going to fight? This is going to get physical.
No.
Okay. So no deaths were associated with the box unless you want to count the 103-year-old woman, but that sounds like it's pretty natural, right? However, Manus does claim that the box may have caused his mother to have a stroke. So kind of similar to what we were seeing in the intro scene, right? So he took his mom to the workshop just to show her the box as he was refurbishing it. And then he claims that within minutes of her touching and looking at the box, she suffers a major stroke. Once she regains consciousness at the hospital, she's temporarily unable to speak or write words, but she's able to communicate by pointing to letters on a sheet. And the first two things that she spells out are no gift and hate gift. And at the time, he didn't think that it was related to anything sinister. Oh. He just kind of thought that, like, she didn't like the gift, but you maybe know, it was the box.
I almost had a stroke once watching that MRI scene.
Oh my God. It was spooky. Right now I'm not totally convinced that a demon isn't, like, pulling on my heart. I'm having chest pains.
That's because you're hungover.
I'm very hungover. Yeah. All right. Okay.
That's the rampant alcoholism.
You know, life's hard. We don't need to go down that road.
Let's move on to the next question.
All right, next question. Everyone. Okay. So one of the earlier signs of Emily's possession is that she starts to act like strange and despondent and gets violent, right? She's like freaking out at school. Do you think that people who encountered the box started acting weird and different and violent in real life?
You go first.
I'll say yes, because this is a I'm gonna go on a little tangent here because this made me think of something.
Tangent
something
away.
Pertinent. So there's the classic story of the pharaohs, the mummy's curse, Tutankhamun, how people people who encountered his
I'm
not even gonna dignify that joke.
People
who encountered the sarcophagus dropped dead and acted weird and killed their wives and blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, this is all true. A lot of people who were on that expedition did die early, but also they didn't die any earlier than was normal for the day. It's not like if you took this, if you took a sample of the people that encountered Tutankhamun's sarcophagus and put them up against the general population, they wouldn't have necessarily died any older or younger than anybody else. People die freak ways all the time, but because they'd been around the sarcophagus, people go, oh my God, it's the mummy's curse.
Uh-huh.
When in fact, people drop dead of heart attacks all the time.
Right. Or people which is why you get MRIs, Jake.
Yeah. So I'm going to say yes, because people love to associate, you know, they're making a logical jump there that just because something bad happened, that means that they must have, it must have been caused by this thing rather than just being coincidental.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say no.
Jake's going to say no.
No.
It's actually false. Oh. Shocking. This one, shockingly false in my opinion. So really nothing about any change of behavior, but he does claim again that weird things started happening. So I'm going to dive deeper in those. So Manis says that he had to have his sister store the cabinet when they were trying to fix all the damage in the workshop. And she immediately, within days, insisted on giving it back to him because she said that the box kept opening on its own, which was weirding her out. And there wasn't any sort of like springs or anything that would cause the box to open up. So that was very odd. She also claimed that it made her house smell like cat urine. Box itself didn't smell like cat urine, but the house started to smell like cat urine. So she's like, get this out of my house. Manis then has to put it in his house. And he claims that the second he puts it in there, he started having a recurring nightmare of, and I quote, a gruesome, demonic looking hag that would beat the living tar out of him. This happened night after night. So he also
started.
By the
way, this is a better movie.
I agree. And we find.
This happens all the time.
This happens all the time.
It is insane how much they, like.
I like it when it's a little less straightforward that
exactly.
It's demonic. It's just curiously weird.
100%.
Like, why are weird things? That's more plausible and more freaky in its own way. I like the story better.
You have the phrase, it's like, oh, they took liberties. But like in my head, it always means it's like they took liberties to make the story better. But I
they
feel like
it
often
worse.
It's like they make it worse.
I agree.
Like that. Yeah,
I know.
Sorry,
well, it gets even better. So he also says that he starts finding weird bruises and weird marks on his body, which again, plausible, but also really creepy when you have these dreams. So he describes his dreams to his sister and she freaks out and tells him that she had the same dreams of this same woman when the box was in her house. Then Manis claims that he starts seeing what he describes as like a shadowy figure in his peripheral vision. And one night he wakes up to, again, we've got this overwhelming smell of cat urine. Weird. And then the feeling that somebody is breathing down his neck. He then claims that he sees a huge shadow move off of his bed and down the hall. And so he's like, fuck this. This is really spooky.
Did I ruin that by taking a photo?
I know. Jake took a photo of me and I immediately froze up because I don't like... guys, podcasts are not a visual medium and that's where I feel comfortable. But yeah, so... No weird behavior, but just kind of like these interesting. I love the idea.
By the way,
of
have you guys
dream.
Ever had that happen to you? You ever had any kind of terrible dream or sleep paralysis that like bled over into being awake?
Yes.
Because it is absolutely horrifying.
It's unfortunate. I have on numerous occasions done the thing where you kind of are half awake and you think there's someone in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to get like the sleep paralysis a lot, which is where you're. Body, you know, your body shuts down in stages and when you go to sleep. And it's supposed to happen in a certain order. Like your conscious mind is supposed to go off first, and then your subconscious, i.e. your bodily functions, are supposed to shut off second. But if something jars you awake at the wrong point, you've got a conscious mind and an unconscious body. And when that happens, some weird shit starts appearing in your vision and stuff.
Yeah.
'Cause you are like, your body's supposed to be asleep, but now your mind's awake. So you can't move, you can't talk. And a lot of times I've found, at least, that you'll get hallucinations at the same time. Your eyes will be wide open. You'll see something in the room. You can even hear things maybe in your ear talking to you or something. It's very, very, very creepy.
I don't like this.
So
no.
You need to watch. There's a documentary called The Nightmare. Did you see that?
No.
It's a documentary on sleep paralysis. Yeah. And they just talked to like a lot of people who experience it. And yes, it's very common to see essentially shadow people, which is definitely kind of what I've experienced, like weird, dark shapes.
I've been jarred awake by like just having a nightmare, like a classic old scary demonic nightmare.
An old demonic hag beating the tar out of you?
No, there was one, and I will remember this for the rest of my goddamn life because it was so fucking terrifying.
Can you tell us?
Oh, of course I will. So I was, the dream was, I've had a few of these dreams in my life. My dreams are weird. Like, they're usually nonsense. But once a year or so, I'll have one of two kinds of dreams. Either a genuine, real, real fucking Wes Craven nightmare.
Awesome.
Like, where demons are involved and something's chasing me and the sky is orange and like, it's might as well be a movie. Or I have a Michael Bay dream, which is like, asteroids are hitting the earth and it's usually like me and my mom and two random friends like that have no association with each other because your brain loves doing that. Like, hey, what if your friend from LA and your friend from middle school were hanging out together with your mom?
Classic.
Your brain loves that shit. And we're like escaping the asteroids and hiding in subway tunnels and stuff like that. And those are fun as shit. I love those dreams. But I will have these a genuine nightmare every now and then. Come to think of it, now that I'm saying this, I actually haven't had one in a long time, so I'm probably due.
Yeah, you're going to have one tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be tonight. It's going to be tonight.
Yeah.
But I was having one of these dreams, and the setting was basically I was at a friend's house from high school. Like, it was a familiar location, and I was the current age that I was at the time, and I was hanging out with some high school friends. And there was a presence around, and I knew there was a presence around, some sort of ghostly thing. And it was just kind of being annoying. It was brushing wind chimes and moving things. And it was one of those weird conceits that your brain makes when you're having a dream, which is like, oh yeah, there's a ghost in here. This ghost is annoying me. It's not like, oh my God, I can't believe it's like, oh, the fucking ghosts are back.
Right.
God damn it. And so I go up to where I know that this presence is in the dream, and I swipe at it like it's, you know, I whip my hand through the air.
Classic
like I'm like response. I'm like I'm, you know, like imagine there's a cloud of cigarette smoke in front of you and you whoosh, and you whoosh it and you try to swipe it away. And the thing, I'm getting chills remembering this dream, the thing, whatever the thing is, kind of teleports from in front of me where I swiped at it to right next to my ear. And it whispers something in my ear and, you know, fucking Aramaic or some shit. It was probably Polish, honestly.
Yeah.
In some long dead language. And I snap awake. And for the next, it essentially, whatever the thing was, essentially finishes its sentence as I'm awake. I am lying in bed awake and it's like into my ear and I can feel the breath of it on my ear and I'm lying awake in my own bed. And thankfully I wasn't like, I wasn't in some state of sleep paralysis or anything, but the sentence starts in the dream and I snap awake and the sentence continues as I'm laying there awake. And I just stared at the ceiling for about 30 seconds, like in a fucking cold sweat. And I could not believe what had just happened.
You got to look around for a wine cabinet, man. That is, damn. Oof. Yeah.
Maybe when was this?
This was when I lived in Echo Park, and we all know Echo Park is haunted, so yeah. That explains it.
I didn't know that Echo Park.
No, it's not. I don't know. I just don't like Echo Park. So that's I'm saying it's full of ghosts.
Also not a fan of Echo Park.
It's full of ghosts of Latino families that have been displaced by rich white people.
Gentrification, I yeah. know. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's horrifying. Yep. Great. Now that's going to fucking happen to me tonight, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, it won't because I'm going to be drunk.
Yeah, there you go.
Just kidding, Mom. Okay. moving on. Nice segue. So, a couple more questions. I believe Colin is still winning. We're just going to say
no, it's 2-2-1 right now.
Oh, what, way to keep two, track. Two,
right. I gave up already.
Yeah, Jake gave up. Okay. So in the movie, they discover that you, in order to get rid of the demon, you have to say the demon's name. And so they realize the demon is named Abizu, a.k.a. the taker of children. Do you think that in real life, he found out that the demon inside of this box was named Abizu?
Well, it's so obviously no that it must be yes, right? It's so like, how the fuck would you ever know a thing's name that doesn't exist?
Tricky.
Well, and that's like, it's got to be no because I feel like they just probably took some weird ass liberty.
It's going to be yes. There's going to be some weird old Hebrew thing from the 30s in there.
I'm going to say no.
I'm saying yes.
It's false.
Okay.
So yeah, nothing about the name. Okay. No translating of any scripture or anything. But I will say that Abizu is the name of a real demon, according to Jewish folklore. Colin just poured beer all over my rug. Abizu,
more importantly, my new shoes.
Oh no, he has white shoes on. Abizu is a female demon often blamed for miscarriages and infant mortality and was said to be motivated by envy. So real demon, but not in the box. Yeah. Are you boys ready for your last question?
Yep.
All right. So basically the denouement, if you will, of the film is they get Modest Yahoo to come and perform this exorcism on Emily to get the demon out. Do you think that in real life they got Modest Yahoo to perform rabbi?
Or some other Orthodox Jewish
or
rapper.
Another Orthodox Jewish gentleman to perform an exorcism or ceremony on the wine cabinet on the box.
I would say yes.
I'm going to have to say yeah, for sure.
You'd fucking think so.
Yeah.
It's false.
What?
So no, nothing. No rabbi, no exorcism, possession, no nothing. But this is kind of interesting. So ultimately, you know, Manus gets freaked out by all the weird occurrences, so he decides to sell the wine cabinet on eBay. Not even get rid of it, not even tie it up, not throw it. He wants to sell it on eBay. So he details his experiences with it, claims that he thinks the box is like haunted or possessed by a demon, which, as we know from the internet, drums up some sort of excitement, right? Jesus Christ, somebody's got a motorcycle. So he ends up selling it in 2004 for $280 to a medical museum curator named Jason Haxton, who is also a collector of religious paraphernalia. So this guy's interested in getting the box. Haxton gets it. He does some research on the box and ends up creating a website for it, which still exists, www.dybbukbox.com. And on this website, he relays the story that it was told to him by Kevin, the history. He even links out to the original eBay posting where he bought it. And this kind of, you know, creates this internet rumor about this haunted Dybbuk box that's going around. So Haxton ends up selling the rights of the story to a Hollywood production company, which thus ends up making...
So it wasn't Kevin, it was the guy who bought it.
It was the guy who bought it. It was this Haxton guy. Like,
he really owns the rights to that?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Probably because
So question.
Yes.
Is the idea of a Dybbuk box something made up by this old Jewish grandmother? Or it's a thing?
Theoretically, I could not find any sort of information about a Dybbuk box. It seems like perhaps this was made up by this grandmother, or perhaps it's completely all bullshit and was made up by this Kevin guy, who I will mention again, was a writer and a furniture refurbisher.
Wow, he really whiffed on that.
Yeah, I know. He could have sold the story. Yeah,
why didn't he write it?
No kidding.
Dummy.
So yeah, this guy ends up selling the story, and then they make this movie, which clearly they didn't even fucking pull from the story. They were just like, oh, idea of a Jewish demon box. I will say now that Haxton ended up donating the wine box to Zach Baggins, who is the ghost hunter guy So oh, yeah, yeah. It lives in his, he has like a museum, I think, kind of similar to like
I the will Warren say had. This is more, that's more tied to reality than I expected. Like it's, the fact that a physical right? object exists that this is based around is more than I expected, frankly.
I agree 100%. I definitely thought that it was going to be full bullshit. I wasn't going to be able to find anything. I was a little bit sad that I had to actually do research today.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was going
to
be
pretty easy. You just went to the website, right?
I had to do a little bit more digging, but yes, that was the bulk of my research, so it wasn't too bad, but it felt hard. Quick bonus fact. Apparently, Post Malone visited the museum and interacted with the box in 2018. And then afterwards, I guess I don't know anything about Post Malone, but he stumbled into some bad luck, apparently. So his fans believe that his bad luck was caused by him visiting the box.
Not his pill problem. No.
That was Jesus on the Jake. Wikipedia article, so I had to mention it.
No.
But yeah, so that's the real story of The Possession.
Cool.
Not kind of interesting, right?
That was interesting.
Yeah, I liked the story that it was based on a lot more than the movie.
Yeah.
It tends to go that way.
It always goes that way, yeah, for sure.
So now that we know, oh, sorry, Colin.
No, that was that's a common.
Yeah.
Yeah, theme. Or the other comment is just like it has there the
it's like it's false. Such a stretch.
It's such a stretch. Yeah. Like
it's either that it's completely bullshit. Or that the real story is more interesting.
What's the most factual one you guys have ever done?
Gosh, we get asked this a lot. I think, unfortunately, it was this movie called The Girl Next Door. Spoiler alert, I guess, for that episode.
Yeah.
It was actually one of the most, like, it's, and you're not thinking, there was the Alicia Cuthbert, like,
yes.
Not that movie.
Yeah.
Not the one about the high school.
Yeah, I was, no, I was like, oh, that is the name of a movie. I thought it was that creepy Jennifer Lopez movie or something. Was it Something Next Door? Isn't there a movie where she plays like a mom next door? Whatever. There's some other movie. Or no. Last House on the Left or something like that, maybe. I don't know.
Does not claim to be based on a true story. But honestly, this one, and like if you guys haven't listened to that episode, maybe don't. Like maybe skip ahead, but that was one of the most like horrific
stories intense.
That I've ever, like the movie was truly awful. Basically about this mom that
awful in a good way.
No.
Like so, the story is essentially that this woman holds a girl captured in her basement and like tortures her.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean horrific in like that the movie was functional.
No, okay.
Yeah,
or just like the story was so fucked up that I was like, there's no way it was true. And it was almost like, completely
true. It's like if this might be a little extreme, but it's like watching The Human Centipede and being like, this is a bad film.
Yeah.
And finding out it was true.
Yeah.
And now you have to know that it's true and being like, oh my God, this happened to people.
So basically one of the most horrific movies in terms of subject matter ended up being one of the most true ones that
Snowtown
we researched.
Snowtown Murders was
Snowtown Murders was also, if you saw that movie, that was based on a real
anytime we do something crime. That's really like based off like an actual person. Most of the Possession stuff we do, it's bullshit.
Well, and also you have to take it with a grain of salt. Like even though I have the research, it's like this is what these people claim.
But this is cool. Like you were saying, it's cool because there is an actual
there's a box.
There's a box.
Theoretically.
What's in the box?
There's pictures. If you guys go to www.dibbukbox.com, you can see pictures of the actual wine cabinet. So, I guess let's rate it. Now that we know the real story and we've seen the movie, from a scale of 1 to 10 out of 10, how accurately do you think that the movie portrayed the real story?
I mean,
I'm going to go with 1.
Yeah, I was going to say 1. Yeah. Like... One.
Yeah, there, I was. My first instinct was My first instinct was 3.
Yeah,
because there was some. The broken glass. Clearly, they latched onto that, right? The broken light bulbs and stuff. They clearly were like, "Oh, we got to include a lot of broken glass in this movie."
That's
they
true.
Kept doing it. They kept doing it and doing it and doing it.
That's fair. We'll give them a point for that. I feel like 2 seems accurate. How about movie in general? If you had to rate this movie. 1 through 10 out of 10.
When you have a possession movie, you can kind of go any direction with it. Because, like, there's a possession. So, you're not reinventing the wheel with there being a possession. But what you do with a possession movie is try to come up with the most fucking wacky, crazy, messed up shit to have happen.
Right.
And they just didn't seem to have the most wacky, crazy, fucked up shit.
No.
And I wish they had more. I think they were trying to lean too hard into, like, it's more of like this mystery kind of Sinister or The Ring or something, which, again, I keep mentioning those two movies. Those are my two favorite horror movies.
They ain't bad.
And they do such a good job of, like, the stuff in between the messed up stuff happening, the journalism of it, the research, the that stuff, Ethan Hawke sitting alone at his computer at night watching those fucked up videos, or Naomi Watts doing her, you know, doing her rounds as a journalist in The Ring and stuff like that. I think they were trying to do that more than just have it be a fucked up, like, you know, shocker.
And like you said before,
jump scare movie.
Yeah.
It's like they really messed up with the fact that, like, they started,
they could have just done more.
They started with the hand being stabbed.
Yeah, they started at a six and they had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And they didn't go anywhere. I mean, the teeth falling out, I guess, but no, it's true. This movie was really bad.
They should have, I mean, it should have either been a better, more well thought out investigative thriller type thing that has fucked up stuff happening in the background, or it should have just been full creepy possession, nonstop weird shit happening.
It was either. I'd give it like a three. Because you know what?
I'll see your three and I'll match that. Yeah.
What about you? Yeah. I don't know. Again, you guys keep telling me I'm being very kind to it. I am usually very kind to movies. I don't like when movies are terrible. It kind of, because, you know,
people
are trying. No one wants
to be good.
You know, people always say this. No one tries to make a bad movie.
Of course. Oh. And I think that's why I like, you know, obviously, I mean, I'm not in the industry, so I feel like I can be like a little bit of a brat. But like, there's a lot of people that work really hard to make movies, and I don't want to besmirch their efforts. But like, ultimately, this was not the most enjoyable viewing experience.
And that's why I want to keep, that's why I keep harping on the fact that it was at least well done in a technical sense.
Yeah.
It looked
That's
good.
Why I gave it a three.
It was relatively.
Otherwise, it'd be a one.
It was relatively well acted. It looked really good. Yeah. The setting was nice. You know, they did a pretty decent job.
Would you suggest someone to watch this?
No, probably not.
Yeah, that's.
But
that's
I will say a mark of a movie that isn't a total flop for me is, like, I was interested in what was going to happen. Yeah. I wasn't waiting for it to be over.
Yeah.
And I think when a movie completely loses me, I'm just like, I just want this thing to be over.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
I'm just not interested. I remember me and my friend went to go do a, we went to a How Did This Get Made taping at the Wiltern. And the movie, some of the movies they do on How Did This Get Made are just brilliant shit shows, like Action Jackson or Time Cop or something that. Like those are the legendary.
Or Jason
How
X.
Did This Get. Yeah. Or the legendarily.
Yes.
Bad, but also great.
Like, watchable.
Yeah, bad movies. Like, but the one that we had to do, me and my friend Alex had to watch this movie beforehand and then go to the show. We just could not wait for it to be over. It was so bad, and it was just so schlocky and terrible that there was no redeeming quality to it. And I think there were redeeming qualities to this movie. Like, I was interested in what was happening in the movie.
Yeah.
So like, Colin, the movie functioned. Oh, it's a four.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
that
no,
was
no,
amazing.
No.
That was a good build up to
it's a four.
I'm so glad that happened.
That was amazing.
I'm trying to justify it not being a one, like you said, but
well, okay.
Like, it functions as a movie. You know what I'm saying? It's not a great movie, but like, it's functional. It has three acts. Yeah. It works.
It is a
like
film.
It functions technically as a movie. It just isn't a very enthralling one.
Yeah. Fair.
And could have been done better.
Well, I mean, I think we've said what we could say. I will, Colin, you have a microphone in front of you. You work in the film industry. Great platform. You've got an active audience. Is there anything you want to plug that you've been working on lately that you want people to check out or tell our fellow horror fans to watch something that you think is cool?
Well, I think horror fans do horror fans and true crime fans bleed together?
Yeah.
Oh, indeed. We get a lot of true crime fans. Elevator pitch.
Well, then you got Blackbird on Apple TV.
Yeah.
Nice. That's right. You worked. Yeah. That was a big project that you worked on. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but it looks really, really cool.
And, you know, just keep watching those national TV spots on ESPN and CBS that I did.
Attaboy.
We worked on a PSA together, so that's nice.
That's not something I'm gonna plug.
Wow.
It was an anti-texting PSA. You gotta be a little proud.
I thought you were gonna say it was like an anti-MRI PSA.
I mean, there wasn't much to it. Like, it literally was just, yeah. Anyways.
Well, yeah. Thank you for being here. This was super fun. I'm sorry that we made you watch this movie, but
I'm not.
I've seen worse.
Yeah. That's good. And of course, thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate that you listen to us talk. I'm really hungover. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you are just.
Let's go get drinks.
Yeah.
All right.
Start the cycle over again.
It all over again. All right. Yeah. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back with another episode shortly. Yeah. Hopefully. All right. Bye, folks.